This is Ham College, episode 140, for June 5th, 2026. Ham College is brought to you by ICOM. Whether the bands are calm, crowded, or somewhere in between, when the gear stays out of your way and the contacts keep coming, you know you're in good company. Choose ICOM. Welcome to another exciting episode of Ham College. I'm Professor Thomas.
And I'm Dean Martin.
Hello, Dean. Sorry, I just got all choked up there all of a sudden. I need to get a drink of water.
Yeah, I have an effect on people sometimes.
Yep. It's beginning to look a lot like summer around here.
Beginning to feel a lot like summer, that's for sure.
It is. The seasons are changing, and so are the exams we're studying for.
Yep. Time to move on from the technician pool up into the general.
So what did we talk about last time?
Let me see. Best I can remember, technician exam studies.
That, I believe you're right.
Yeah. I had to think pretty hard back about that.
So we're going to move on to general now. We're going to talk about general class control operator frequency privileges and primary and secondary allocations, but mostly about frequency privileges.
I expect we might get some buzzer on this stuff. The general stuff's a little bit tougher than the technician.
It is, and when it comes to remembering a bunch of numbers, that's even harder. But
yeah, the frequency, where the different portions of the band start and stop are a little bit tough sometimes.
Yeah. About to find out how tough, though.
Yeah.
So, why would you, if you're a technician, which is entry-level license for amateur radio, why would you want to become a general?
More privileges, man.
Privilege.
Yeah, I want to move up into some more of the HF stuff. So technician, you only have just a little bitty slice on 10 meters.
Yeah.
And you might want to open up the rest of the world, talk around the world with it.
Yeah.
So that's the main thing I could think of. That's why I got mine.
Yeah, I know there's some people who have stayed technicians for decades, like us, but that's been a while. But there's still a lot of people that's what they're interested in, is operating on primarily VHF and UHF. But if you want to explore the arena of HF radio, the lower frequency bands, those behave a lot like the AM broadcast band, where propagation is different throughout the day. Sometimes you're just hearing local stations. Other times in other bands, you're hearing people on a different part of the world.
Yeah, and it's really a lot of fun. It opens up a whole nother aspect of it. Mm-hmm. You could, on 2 meters, 70 centimeters, well, below 30 megahertz, actually above 30 megahertz, the technician stuff, you can talk around the world using digital modes and things like that, but it's just not quite the same thing.
No. But, you know, It's a natural progression. It's the next step, the general and then the extra. So we're going to be talking about the general now for the next while. And starting out tonight, let's talk a little more about the exam first. You know, the FCC exams here are broken up into different sections. And the one that we'll be studying for general is element 3. It's got 35 questions. You got to get at least 26 of them correct. That's 74% in order to pass. How many questions are there in total?
It's 425.
Okay. So we'll be going over all of those, because you don't know which 35 out of that group is going to be on your test. To study, of course, you know, we're going to cover all the questions right here and in a little more detail than just here's a question and here the answer. We're going to add in what we can there to kind of help it make sense. But you'll want to do some other studying as well. And there are other resources out there that you can tap into that'll help get you there, get you adequately prepared. First thing, though, I think we probably want to look at is the question pool itself, you know. That's something that you're probably going to want. There's no reason you shouldn't download a copy of the questions. It's at ncvec.org website. The link's right there on the bottom of the page. They have all the exam pools there. We're looking at the general. Download it. You can download the one schematic. ARRL's got a list of sources, don't they?
Yeah, they do.
And they're talking about licensing, education, training. Find a place you can take a test in person, or how you could do it online. Application fees, $35. That's what it costs.
Yeah, that's for 10 years. It's worth every penny of it to me.
Yeah. You could become a volunteer examiner, too, if you'd like to help others get into ham radio.
Yep, we did that.
So a lot of different resources there to give you details about amateur radio.
These links, by the way, will be in the show notes when the show goes live.
Yeah.
They'll all be in there, too.
Yeah. You might want to buy a study guide to go along as well. There's several of them available out there.
This is my favorite one here.
That's my favorite one, too.
Oh, Gordo. Gordon West, general class. Good from 2023 to 2027. It's a good book. Gordo's got a way of explaining things, too. It makes it pretty easy to understand.
He does. It makes it interesting and entertaining at the same time. So that's the current pool for generalists. It came out for 2023, and it ends, and it'll be replaced with a new pool in 2027. But we're going to study right on through there. Also, the ARRL has a question and answer manual that you can see as well. And it's similar, but does not quite have your personality and the details that you find in Gordon's book. And there's also an ARRL license manual for general class. Now, this is a thicker book. We looked at that one for the technician exam, and there was a lot of good information in there. So this is a little more than question and answers right here. This will go into a little more theory and details in there. That is another good resource as well. So there are some requirements. If you're going to get your general license, you can't just start by taking Element 3 and get on HF and have a general license. There's other things you got to do first. What do you have to do before you can become a general?
You got to become a technician.
You got to become a technician, or at least pass the elements for the technician exam. There's 10 different sub-elements.
Right.
Sub-element 1 is going to be on the commission's rules, like we mentioned earlier, general class control operator privileges. Also, it's going to cover antenna structures, good engineering, good amateur practices, retransmitting radio signals, transmitter power regulations, data emission standards. Boy, volunteer examiners and volunteer exam coordinators. Repeater regulations, third-party rules. That's just a portion of what's in sub-element G1. What are a few of the things in sub-element G2?
Operating procedures. There's five exam questions from five groups of the 60 questions in those. And about phone operating procedures, upper sideband, lower sideband, operating effectively, CW operating procedures and procedural signals, like cue signals, things like that, volunteer monitor program, and digital mode operating procedures. That digital stuff's kind of fun.
Yeah. Sub-element 3 is going to be radio wave propagation. This is where it gets interesting here. There are going to be three questions from this group that will be on your exam. There's three groups in this sub-element, 37 questions all total. Stuff like sunspots, solar radiation, geomagnetic fields, and stability indexes, maximum usable frequency, a short path, long path, ionospheric regions, critical angles and frequencies, and near vertical incident sky waves, and a lot more propagation related questions. It's what we were talking about earlier in the HF and how it propagates differently. Uh-huh. You know, it's not like a line of sight like VHF and UHF.
And next we got sub-element 4. It's amateur radio practices. There are 5 exam questions from 5 groups, making 60 questions altogether in that part of the pool. We got station configuration and operation, tests and test equipment, interference to consumer electronics, grounding, bonding, speech processors, S-meter, sideband operation, mobile and portable HF, and alternative energy stuff, which I'm pretty interested in, stuff like that.
And sub-element 5, 3 exam questions from 3 groups, 40 questions total. Electrical principles. This is fun stuff, too. Reactance, inductance, capacitance, impedance, resonance, decibels, electrical power calculations. Lots of good stuff in electronics, which is one of my favorite hobbies and jobs.
Yep. Sub-element 6, circuit components. 2 questions from there, from 2 groups, 23 questions in the pool. We've got resistors, capacitors, inductors, rectifiers, solid-state diodes.
Parts.
Pieces, parts.
Sub-element 7 is going to be practical circuits. 3 questions, 38 questions total. You'll only have to worry about 3, but which 3? We can't tell you. But it's going to talk about things like power supplies, schematic symbols, amplifiers, oscillators, transceiver designs, DSPs, a whole bunch of fun stuff.
For sub-element 8, we got signals and emissions. There are 3 questions, 3 groups, and 42 questions in total in the pool. Carriers, modulation, AM, FM, single sideband, digital modulation, overmodulation, all kinds of modulation. Frequency changing, bandwidths, deviation, intermodulation. See, every kind of modulation you can think of.
And then some. And then some you hadn't even thought of yet.
There you go.
Sub-element 9 is going to be about antennas and feed lines. You'll have 4 questions out of that group of 46 questions. Talking about feed lines, impedance, attenuation, SWR, antenna feed point matching, dipoles, monopoles, directional antennas, all kinds of antennas.
Sub-element 0. I don't know if that's a typo, if it really is 0, 890. But anyway, electrical and RF safety. There are 2 questions from that, 2 groups, and from 25 questions. RF safety principles, rules, routine station evaluation, electrical shock, grounding, fusing, interlocks, and antenna and tower safety, and more.
Tonight we're going to talk about band privileges, but before we get to that, there's something we wanted to mention a little earlier. Since we are changing from technician to general exams here, we've been talking about it for a while, and now's as good a time as any to make this change, and it's not really a big change, but Ham College is going to get its own YouTube channel. So it's still part of the Amateur Logic family. So we would encourage you to check it out. Look for the episodes to be posted, youtube.com/@hamcollege-altv. Right there. If you would, subscribe to that channel so you don't miss out. We will be streaming them live where we always do at live.amateurlogic.tv. But once they're posted, they'll go in this Ham College channel here. So a little different place to look, but it'll get its own YouTube channel. It's grown up now. It's old enough.
Yeah, it's 10 years old, somewhere along those lines.
Wow. Yeah, I guess it is.
If it's not, it's pretty close.
So, remember, check that channel out right there. Subscribe.
Still not old enough to get a cell phone yet, though.
No, but you could get a license, amateur radio license. So another good reason to get an amateur radio license. Tonight, they're all questions about your operating privileges, where you can operate, what frequencies, and which ones you can't as a general class amateur radio operator. And there's one resource that's going to be very important you'll find as we go along, and we just happen to have a copy of it, the amateur radio bands in the U.S. You can download this, and we'll have the link in the show notes. Few things to note, U.S. amateur radio power limits. What is the most power you can transmit with, Tommy?
1,500 watts.
1.5 kW PEP, peak envelope power. It's got that right at the top. That doesn't mean you can use that much power on all those frequency bands. If you'll notice right there, 10 meters, you can only run 200 watts for a novice technician. Novice and technicians can only run 200 watts. Rest of us can run 1.5 kW PEP.
So there's another reason to upgrade.
Good reason to upgrade. But there's some other restrictions here. 30 meters. Extra, advanced, and general, which they don't issue advanced licenses anymore. People who still have those still have these privileges. 200 watts PEP is all you can run on 30 meters. You can't run that 1.5 kilowatts there.
30 meters is pretty small.
It is. Some other interesting things about it, too. We won't dwell on them too much at this point because we'll be covering them shortly. Now, there's a key over here on the side. You can operate CW anywhere in any of those bands. You're not limited to a certain area. However, some bands only allow a portion of it, only CW. If you're a novice or a technician, look at there. I never realized that you could run on 40 meters as a technician.
I did not either.
Well, you can in this little area right here. CW only, though. As well, down here in 15 meters. But you got to use CW. Yep. I never realized that before, even on 80 meters.
Well, I'm not a big CW guy, so I probably just looked right through that and just went right on about my business.
Even on 80 meters, novices and technicians got a little slice of it that they could run, but only CW. That's why you might want to upgrade to general, is so you could do sideband, digital, some of the other modes. Anything listed in red, that means that portion of the band you can use RIDI or data. Green is phone and images. So most of these bands, you can see some green there. That's where you could use single sideband or AM or FM, some of the voice modes. Yellow, SSB phone. The only place that specifies that is right here in the 10-meter band. There's a small portion that novice and technicians can use single sideband phone.
Yeah, and that's what I was referring to earlier when I said they had a little sliver of 10 meters.
And that's the only place that technicians can use a voice mode on the HF bands, right there. But they can do CW on.
Not much of it, but there's a little piece. That's just enough to get your appetite wet.
Now, the light blue here, upper sideband phone, CW, RIDI, and data. All that applies to 60 meters, which is one of the more recent bands that we got. Not the most recent, but one of the more recent. And these are channelized. And rather than be a continuous area here, these are broke up into channels that you can operate on. And most of your radios don't have that pre-programmed in it. You'll have to go at them as memory channels or something. But the more modern radios will allow you to transmit on those frequencies. And the orange is fixed digital message forwarding systems only. I don't even see any orange. Oh, there it is.
1.25 meters.
Yep. 222 megahertz. I didn't even realize that was going on there. But I do now. So anyway, for instance, let's look at 40 meters here. This red area, if you're an extra, advanced, or general, you can run radio and data communications in that area. Same thing, anywhere you see red there, like 160 meters, you could use radio and data anywhere in that band. 80 meters, no, you can only use it down here between 3.5 and 3,600. So, narrower areas. 30 meters, you can only use radio and data. So, it's all broken up. Some bands are exclusive to one mode, particularly 30 meters there. Some will let you do voice modes or data. So it varies. And that's what you need to keep in mind, because that's basically what's going to be on this part of the exam right here. You're going to need to know it.
So I should have took a picture.
But you can't bring it into, like you can't this. Use your phone, yeah, in the exam. Can't even use it for a calculator. On which HF and or MF, and that means medium frequency, amateur bands, are there portions where general class licensees cannot transmit? A, 60 meters, 30 meters, 17 meters, and 12 meters.
B, 160 meters, 60 meters, 15 meters, and 12 meters.
C, 80 meters, 40 meters, 20 meters, and 15 meters.
D, 80 meters, 20 meters, 15 meters, and 10 meters. On which HF or MF amateur bands are there portions where general classes cannot transmit? So that means there would be an extra little slope section of it. I know there's one on 80.
That would mean like 40. You'd have to be an extra class licensee to operate on some of those frequencies.
Right.
Yeah.
So I know there's one that's some on 80, 40, 20.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, I'll agree with you on those.
I think it's going to be C, 80 meters, 40 meters, 20 meters, and 15 meters. I don't remember 15. So I only use that on field day most of the time. I hardly ever get on 15 meters, but I do remember the others. I think it's going to be C.
Okay. Chat room. They're not even guessing, man. These are a little hard to remember.
Yeah, they are.
Okay, they're starting to say C now. I'm inclined to agree.
Following my lead.
Yep.
We're all going to go down the sinking ship together if I'm wrong.
Down in the sea. I believe you're right. Let's see.
Okay.
And you are. Let's just take a look at the chart again.
Okay. Yeah, I just thought I remember that 160 meters was all the way across. Didn't have anything broken up in there.
Yeah.
I thought I remembered that.
You get all of that.
Mm-hmm.
But on 80 meters, yeah. If you're general, you're missing this portion, this white space here.
About half of it.
Yep. So there's a good bit more room spread out there. If you're an extra, you get a little more. But general gets from 3.8 all the way up to 4 megahertz. That's where most of the activity is happening on 80 meters. And the same with the rest of these bands. You know, what we said, 40 meters. Yeah, look there. Our general gets most of 40 meters. Got that one little sliver there that might make you want to upgrade, but you get the most popular frequencies with that.
20 and 15.
20. You get most of 20. Little space here that you don't get. And why is that little space good to have there?
The crowd, a lot of times you could find a little space right there to have your cue. So, all right, here comes a good one. You ready?
Yep.
On which of the following bands is phone operation prohibited? A, 160 meters.
B, 30 meters.
C, 17 meters.
D, 12 meters. On which of the following bands is phone operation prohibited? I happen to know this.
Yeah, I happen to know this one too, so that's why I'd answer this one for you.
I know for a fact you can use phone on 160 meters.
Mm-hmm.
17 and 12, believe so, but I know for 30 meters, you can't use it. You're out of luck there. I said it's B. I think B. What do you think?
Yep, I concur.
And it is.
And there's really, a lot, if you watch these before, we usually go through and reason out a lot of them, you know.
Some of them are just unreasonable.
You just can't unreason. Yeah, that's a good way to put it. There's just really not a way to reason these. You're just going to have to study these and kind of learn them.
Yeah. I can give you a little tip on this one, how you might can remember it, though. If we look back at this portion of the band chart right here, 30 meters, that's from 10.1 megahertz up to 10.15 megahertz. If you think about it, WWV, the time signal, is right there on 10 megahertz. And so the band that we've got that's right next to that, you can only use RIDI and data on it. No voice there. All the rest of the bands, yeah, there's some phone space on all of them except that one. On which of the following bands is image transmission prohibited? A, 160 meters.
B, 30 meters.
C, 20 meters.
Or D, 12 meters. Okay, I'm thinking this one's going to be B, 30 meters again, because I didn't see. I want to say it's 30, but I think it's 160. 30 meters was all red. So I'm thinking this maybe it's A, 160. I don't really know for sure.
Okay, that is a trick question. I'm going to say it's 30. You can't do it there.
Let's take a look at it then.
That chat room saying B.
Okay.
And it is. So why is that? Because you would think image is digital.
Yeah.
It's data. Well, I don't know if you. It's red. So red is RIDI and data. There are image modes that are digital, but the original SSTV is analog. So maybe that doesn't count as data. I don't know. But, well, obviously it doesn't because you're prohibited from using it.
It does to the phone company, your cell phone.
Does to them. Yep.
Huh. That's pretty strange.
That's a trick one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. I earned that buzzer on that. That's the first buzzer for some time, so.
Yep. The first one in the general pool. You get
extra
points.
It won't be the last one. On which of the following frequencies are general class licensees prohibited from operating as control operator? A, 7.125 megahertz to 7.175 megahertz.
B, 28 megahertz to 28.025 megahertz.
C, 21.275 megahertz to 21.300 megahertz.
Or D, all of these choices are correct. On which of the following frequencies are general class licensees prohibited from operating as control operators? What is a control operator? That's the person who's in control of the radio.
The dude with the microphone.
Yep. So if you had a buddy there that had a higher class license than you, you could say he's a control operator, and then you could operate on that frequency. But if you're the control operator, as a general, I don't think it's all of these choices are correct.
This is where you're going to have to memorize that little sliver.
Yep. And I'm going to just zero in on A there.
That's what I'm thinking, too. I don't remember exactly, but I think that's the bottom end of
7.125 to 7.175 megahertz. I believe that's it. A little mix in the chat room there. Okay, it's a... Let's pull out the chart.
7.1.
Yeah.
2.5 to 7.175. That's it.
Yep. So right there, if you're a general, you can't use that portion. And when the band gets crowded during a contest, if you were an extra, you could move down there because it wouldn't be as much activity. Most people are going to be here in the general portion because there'll be more people there. They can make more contacts. But I've noticed in the last few years during those contests, there are more people in the extra portion of the band now because there's enough people have upgraded to extra that it's worth their time to go there. As extra class licensees, we don't think about that now because if anybody can operate in that on that band, we've got the privileges.
Mm-hmm.
When you're general, you do need to kind of pay attention to it because occasionally I've heard people get called out on there when a general was operating in a portion of the band that was not allowed, and that's usually during a contest. Somebody,
really? I've never.
I have that. Heard it. I don't remember if it's field day last year is the last time I heard it, but I have heard someone say, "Oh, you can't transmit here because." And why would they say that? Well, because the person who was taking the calls means that he can't log that person because they're not supposed to be on that frequency. So
right.
He didn't get a point out of it. He wasn't just being rude necessarily. Maybe he was. I don't know.
No,
but
yeah. It's good to let people know so they operate legal too.
Yeah, exactly. And because we're supposed to be self-policing.
Right. So
we'd rather not get the police involved.
I'm pretty sure they'd laugh at you if you called them.
Yeah. Which of the following applies when the FCC rules designate the amateur service as a secondary user on a band? A, amateur stations must record the call sign of the primary service station before operating on a frequency assigned to that station.
B, amateur stations may use the band only during emergencies.
C, amateur stations must not cause harmful interference to primary users and must accept interference from primary users.
Or D, amateur stations may only operate during specific hours of the day while primary users are permitted to 24-hour use of the band. Which of the following applies when the FCC rules designate the amateur service as a secondary user on a band? It must record the call? No. Your station may use a band only during emergencies. That's not true either. I think it's going to be C. Amateur stations must not cause harmful interference to primary users and must accept interference from primary users. Let's review D, too. Amateur stations may only operate during... No, it's not limited to time of day. So it's going to be C. I'm going with C.
I think we're all agreeing with you. Sometimes the thing that makes the most sense is actually the answer, huh?
Go figure, right?
Yeah. Let's look at an example of that. The only place that I know right off that we are secondary users is in the 60-meter band.
Aren't
here.
Aren't we secondary in 30 meters, too?
I don't know. We'll look in a second. Let's look at 60. May operate on a secondary basis, and the bandwidth is restricted to 2.8 kilohertz. And a maximum ERP of 100 watts relative to a half-wave dipole antenna. That doesn't mean 100 watts PEP. That means 100 watts effective radiated
ERP.
Power. So if there's gain on your antenna,
you got to calculate it.
Now, you said 30 meters?
I thought that was a secondary.
Avoid interfering to fixed services outside the U.S., so it doesn't say that we're secondary users. In the U.S., we're not. But there are other countries in the world. Good Wendy says we are effectively secondary on 30. Yeah, if you hear some foreign stations on 30, you can't interfere with them. Let's take a break, stretch your legs, come right back, because we got a lot more numbers to go. Stick around, any ham radio conversation, and ICOM is bound to come up. The reason is straightforward: solid receivers, clear audio, and a layout that feels natural the second you start operating. These radios are made for real on the air time, whether the bands are calm, crowded, or somewhere in between. When the gear stays out of your way and the contacts keep coming, you know you're in good company. Choose ICOM. Remote ready, contest capable, and built for serious signal, step into the future of amateur radio with ICOM's powerhouse trio. The IC7760 HF 50 MHz digital transceiver, the ICPW2 1KW HF 50 MHz linear amplifier, and the all-new RC7760 remote controller. Designed to work in perfect harmony, this system offers full remote operation, high output performance, and seamless integration across the bands. The RC7760 remote control serves as an extra control head, and up to five can be registered to the RF deck, though only one can be active at a time. For wireless connectivity, simply connect a commercially available Wi-Fi access point via the LAN port. Whether you're working from the shack, the field, or a remote site, you'll experience crystal clear audio, digital precision, and amplifier-grade power, all from a single unified interface. It's the ideal setup for contesters, MCOM operators, and high-demand users who expect more from their gear. Together, they redefine what's possible in amateur radio, setting a new standard for global connectivity and reliability. The IC7300MK2 builds upon everything operators loved about the original IC7300, elevating it to a sharper, cleaner, and more capable HF experience. Its improved RMDR, lower phase noise, enhanced cooling, and expanded I/O options make it the next level performer for serious operators who want crystal clear reception, rock solid transmit quality, and modern conveniences that fit today's operating styles. Also, check out Sirius Performance for Sirius operators with the IC9700 VHF UHF 1.2 GHz all-mode transceiver. For more information about ICOM's great amateur radios, contact icomamerica.com/amateur today. Ham College recorded episodes are getting their own YouTube channel. It'll be youtube.com/@hamcollege-altv. So going forward, Ham College episodes will be posted there a day or so after each one airs to kind of get its own home by itself. Still part of Amateur Logic, but we're moving it off to its own channel. Back into the questions.
Moving out on its own.
Yep. They grow up mighty quick, don't they?
I mean, they do. On which amateur frequencies is the 10-meter band? May stations with a general class control operator transmit CW emissions? A, 28 megahertz to 28.025 megahertz only.
B, 28 megahertz to 28.3 megahertz only.
C, 28.025 megahertz to 28.300 megahertz only.
Or D, the entire band. Well,
I just so happened to have pointed that out a few moments ago.
Yeah, on which amateur frequencies in the 10-meter band may stations with a general class license control operator transmit CW emissions? I think everybody knows that's been watching the show tonight will know the answer to that.
So just brought it up and we had the chart up all ago.
Yep. Nobody's answered the question yet, but I believe everybody's going to see it the same.
Or D at the same.
D at the same. It is D, the entire band, because you can use CW anywhere as a general in any of the amateur radio bands. It's going to be the entire band, D. Let's look at the entire band then. Generals can operate the whole 10-meter band. They can operate CW anywhere in that band. Which of the HF bands have segments exclusively allocated to amateur extra licensees. A, all HF bands.
B, 80 meters, 40 meters, 20 meters, and 15 meters.
C, all HF bands except 160 meters and 10 meters.
Or D, 60 meters, 30 meters, 17 meters, and 12 meters. How come I keep getting these questions like this? I think this was a setup.
You're just lucky like that.
I don't just have to remember one band. I have to remember all of them to answer this one. It's not all HF bands, because we just proved that. Which HF bands have segments exclusively allocated to amateur extra licenses? I'm thinking it's going to be the same answer as before, 80, 40, 20, and 15. So I'm going with B. I might be wrong, but I think it's going to be B. BB.
BB?
I think it's going to be B.
Okay. A little mix in the chat room there.
That's okay. I'm kind of mixed too, so we're in good company here.
I know for sure it's 80, 40, and 20, so it might as well be 15 too.
Yeah, that was kind of my reasoning for the last time I chose that same answer.
Yep. Here, you get okay. The tough one, so.
Thank you.
Yeah, you deserved it.
Which of the following frequencies is within the general class portion of the 15-meter band? A, 14, 250 kilohertz.
B, 18, 155 kilohertz.
C, 21, 300 kilohertz.
Or D, 24, 900 kilohertz.
I happen to know this one.
Which of the following frequencies is within the general class portion of the 15-meter band? 15 meters. Well, since you know the answer to it, would you like this one? Because I'm going to miss it.
No, I want you to miss one. Okay. So we'd be even Steven on the score.
All right. Well, I know that 14, 250A there, that's a 20-meter band. So it's going to be a higher frequency than that. It's either going to be 18 or 21. I'm going to say B, but it's probably C.
I'm going to say C because it's probably C.
Yeah, I'm going to say C now that I think about it.
No, you can't do that.
Yes, I can. I'm going to say C because I was trying to think there's not a band in there between 20 and 15, but there is.
Yeah, there's 17 meters.
Yeah.
And that would be the 18.
Yep.
All right. Y'all hardly ever get on 17. I get on 15 occasionally.
Or 17.
Field day, I got a filter for 15 meters.
Yeah. What portion of the 10-meter band is available for repeater use? A, the entire band.
B, the portion between 28.1 and 28.2 megahertz.
C, the portion between 28.3 megahertz and 28.5 megahertz.
Or D, the portion above 29.5 megahertz. I don't remember seeing anything about repeater on that band plan.
I don't remember if there was.
Okay. I'm going to go with D, although I think that's way high. I don't know. A. I'm just going to go with A. I really don't know the answer. I have no idea.
The people in the chat room are right. Yeah, it goes 29,700. Doesn't specify there where you can use repeaters, I don't think.
I don't really get on 10 meters hardly ever, so I don't really feel too bad about missing that one.
I think I did hear a 10-meter repeater decades ago.
We used to have one in the area.
A 10? We had a 6. We had a 10 as well?
Mm-hmm. Long time ago.
That might have been the one I heard then.
When general class licensees are not permitted to use the entire voice portion of a band, which portion of the voice segment is available to them? A, the lower frequency portion.
B, the upper frequency portion.
C, the lower frequency portion on frequencies below 7.3 megahertz and the upper portion on frequencies above 14.150 megahertz.
D, the upper frequency portion on frequencies between 7.3 megahertz and the lower portion on frequencies above 14.150. That's crazy talk there. That's mighty complicated, isn't it?
Yeah.
Just happen to know, and if you've ever, if you're studying for your general exam, then you probably have not looked at the band chart much until you started studying. I'm just going to go straight for the answer there. It's A, the lower frequency portion. I read it wrong. I must have. When general licensees are not permitted to use the entire band, which portion of the voice segment is available to them? Yeah, I was just thinking about it backwards. It's a lower portion they can't use. Generals can't use this portion, so the portion they can use is the upper portion.
Yeah, they word them to try to kind of mix you up. Yeah. It works, too, sometimes.
Yeah, I was thinking where they can't operate, which is right here. That was the last question for tonight. So
no way.
These are a little harder than the technician.
Might have to study a little bit more this time on these, I think, because it's been a while since I looked at some of this stuff.
Yeah.
I've had my general for years and years and years, and then my extra for years also. So last time I thought about this stuff was last time we went through these questions, which has been
a few years ago.
Yeah. So
there's probably one thing we should mention before we get out of here tonight.
Yeah.
You want to tell us about it?
Ham College is moving on to a new YouTube channel. They're still going to be published on the website with Amateur Logic and everything, just like always. The only thing different is the YouTube stuff's going to be separated. So go ahead and subscribe to the Ham College LTV channel right now, and you'll see when this show gets posted, this is where it's going to be.
Yeah. And the live stream is going to be in the same place, live.amateurlogic.tv. They won't move. It's only the recorded episodes. There were a lot of links in here tonight. You know, that we talked about early. Where could a fellow or lady find such things?
Well, there's a thing we've got called the show notes. It's on the wiki, amateurlogic.tv/wiki. Go on there, and on the right top side, you'll see show notes. Click that. It'll jump you down to the bottom to the which show you want the notes for. So you'll find all these links when the show gets posted, probably tomorrow sometime, most likely. I'll have the things updated shortly after that. The show notes updated, and they'll all be there.
Okay. Cool. Well,
just like that, like magic.
I think that's going to do it for tonight. We appreciate everyone watching and studying for your general exam. And there's a lot of people that watch these that already have, say, an extra. But they just like to review like us and find out how many they don't know.
Yeah. It's really fun to test your knowledge like that. I mean, there's nothing at stake. Nobody's reputation's going to get ruined or anything like that if you get one wrong. I mean, it's really fun, and it's good practice, good to kind of stay up on things.
It is, especially with field day coming up. Now I've got a better idea of where I can operate and where I can't.
Yep.
Well, I could pretty much operate on any of those.
Yep.
So, but
that's one good reason to get the extra, so you don't have to worry about it. Yeah. But anyway, you really want to try to operate field day where most people can get to you. So
yeah, the general portion is going to be the most active.
Yep.
But there will be some activity on the extra.
There'll be activity everywhere.
Yep.
Literally.
More than you can shake an antenna at. Any final parting thoughts to the class tonight?
No. We got one Amateur Logic coming up before field day, so join us in a couple weeks for that. And I think 2 weeks from tonight, the 19th.
The 19th. Yeah.
Then the following weekend is field day weekend, the 26th, 27th and 28th.
Yeah.
We'll be going up there on the 26th to get things kind of going.
Yep. Sounds good.
Hope we got good weather.
Yep.
And it's cool.
And it's cool.
It won't be. Cool.
7-3, everyone.
7-3, everybody. Good night.